Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Okay, as we can see by the lovely shrine that Apple's made, tomorrow is the memorial service for Iris. And of course, knowing that it's coming up, it's probably been on many, many of our minds, and many people are making a special effort to come up to the monastery for the memorial. Of course, the recollection that comes up is around the aspects of death, the reality of a person dying, and the finality of that. You know, one feels that when one, especially in one's in the presence of somebody who has died, that you know, they're really no longer there. I mean, there's our memories and there's the feeling. But the feeling of a separation is really very strong. And you know, as human beings, what do we you know, what do we do with that? And certainly, it's say in the human experience, it's something that, you know, motivates either a you know, a search for meaning, or a just a desire for some kind of escape, so one doesn't have to think or feel. There's just many extremes that are a part of that experience. And oftentimes, you know, I think one of the kind of responses that come, you know, within our culture, or what we're familiar with, and certainly for myself, I mean, there's this question of why, you know, why is it like this? Why, you know, why are we born? Why do we die? Why is the world like this? Why is the human experience, you know, why is it like this? And, you know, I think one of the things that the Buddha tends to, that I appreciate about the Buddha's approach, is that he doesn't spend a whole lot of time around the why. There's a lot more around how. How's it work? How's it feel? How do we deal with it? How do we work with it? And so there's more emphasis on the how, because on a certain level, there's, you know, there really isn't an answer for the why. There isn't, or certainly not not an acceptable answer. But there are, you know, in the realm of how, the Buddha points to tools that we can be working with our experience. How to live our lives in the present moment, how to establish the mind, the heart, in a way that allows us to work with the inevitable suffering of separation. So that I think it's a helpful approach. And that's all. That's why. And of course, that thread comes through the whole of the Buddhist teachings, where he keeps emphasizing over and over again that saying, you know, I teach suffering and the cessation of suffering. So that coming back to the understanding, not so much why we suffer, because on a certain level we can keep going back to endless causes, endless reasons for that, but trying to understand more clearly the how of it. How do we contribute to that experience of suffering, pain, grief, despair, those qualities? How do we do that? And of course, the how to bring that to an end. And on a certain level, when it comes to that directing attention to the cessation, ending of suffering, you don't have to ask. Really, don't have to ask why. Why would one want to end suffering? That's a one would think anyway. Or I would think, and one doesn't really need to ask the question. One would think it'd be desirable result that everybody would be seeking. And there's a discourse where the Buddha is speaking with a Brahmin and discussing the fears that we have around death, that where the fear of the separation from what is pleasing, gratifying, satisfying to us, things that bring comfort and security. When we are fixated on and drawn to those aspects of experience, then death is something to fear. When there's that attachment to the experience of the senses that are a source of gratification, pleasure, comfort, security, there's going to be a fear of separation. So when we're willing to reflect on the nature of the senses, the nature of the sensory experience, the sense world, we begin to understand its arising, its coming into being, the attachments that we form, the expectations and hopes that we have, and recognizing their nature, then that allows us to relinquish or not be drawn into that the web of fear of separation. So that's one of the ways that the Buddha points to how to ameliorate the fears that are natural to our experience of life. And the fear of the separation from the body, the physical body. Of course, we're born with the body, we grow up with the body, we rely on the body as a vehicle for our identification, who we are, and what we identify with is around our body. But without reflecting, investigating the nature of the body and the nature of identification, that process of identification that we have with it as a sense of this is who I am, this is mine, we become enmeshed in the that sense of I am the body, and when the body changes, and particularly when it becomes ill and dies, then we have this tremendous grief. And the same similarly, when we identify with others, that we objectify a being as being the body, then there's that fear that comes up, fear, anxiety, separation. So sense of that contemplating, investigating the nature of the body and the inevitability of the change within the human body all through the process of living, and then the necessity of separation from that. So those are investigations and contemplations that we need to be doing, and it's just so ingrained in us, because even when we contemplate it, investigate it, know it on an intellectual level, when the reality hits, we just so often feel unprepared, and it's quite natural, but it's also, if we take natural as being constantly subject to suffering, then I said, well, maybe we, how do we step back from those natural inclinations? How do we free ourselves from the natural impulses of identification and grasping? And certainly, the promise that the Buddha holds out to us, that it is possible to free ourselves from all different levels, areas, nuances of suffering, and to be able to encourage ourselves to reflect closely. Because even, and it isn't as if we don't feel things, feel loss, feel even a certain sense of sorrow. It's kind of like natural. What comes to mind is like the story of when after Sariputta's death, and because Mahamoggallana had recently passed away, then Sariputta passed away, and the Buddha is getting toward the end of his life. It's getting late 78, 79, around that. It's the year or two prior to the Buddha's passing away, and his two chief disciples pass away, and then the Buddha is sitting in the midst of the Sangha, and the Sangha feels empty without the presence of Sariputta and Moggallana. And it's just on the feeling tone of the heart. You say, yeah, this is the reality of that separation. And then the Buddha goes on to say, but this is what I've been teaching for over 40 years, that this is the nature of existence, and there is this inevitability of the impermanence of all formations, and it's the understanding and the penetration of the that there are no exceptions, that the Buddha, that's where the true cessation is peace. And this is where because that te sangupasamosu ko is the ending of that, the cessation, the peace of all the coming to peace of all these formations is where happiness lies. So that liberation of the heart through understanding the nature of all formations. And it's, you know, there's a balance that we need to be paying attention to in the sense of understanding something intellectually and then taking it on board. But then the ability of the heart to be steady within that, to be firm within that. Not in the sense of shutting anything out, but in being so clear and so accepting that it is not shaken. So you know, it's not just sort of stoically steeling oneself with the kind of the inevitable truth of things, but the opening of awareness and understanding and compassion, both for oneself and for, you know, for all beings. Really that sense of all beings are subject to birth, aging, sickness, death. All beings are. We're all relatives in the process of birth, aging, sickness, and death. And that you know, the heart really has the possibility of opening to that, and it's that quality of clarity and penetration that is allows for a sense of real stability. And Buddha also points to the sense of recognizing that, you know, again, the sort of fear oftentimes arises approaching death. I haven't done enough good. I haven't done what's good. I haven't restrained myself enough from what wasn't good, and the mind falls in, the heart falls into a sense of kind of self recrimination, remorse, and of course that's where that sense of wisdom and compassion is being able to recognize both in this present moment, understanding that we're all, and we ourselves taking responsibility for ourselves in the sense of, yeah, we're owners of our actions, heirs to our actions, born of our actions, abide supported by our actions. The karma that we do, we inherit that, so that have been clear and willing enough to live with an integrity and sensitivity, sensibility, that when we look back, there isn't a need to have a sense of remorse or regret, and that fosters a sense of happiness, contentment, well-being, and in or that ability to let go of what was that may have been unskillful, recognizing the those are actions have arising out of delusion or ignorance, and that we've understood their nature, and have put forth the commitment applied effort and understanding. So to that that commitment to integrity, and then, of course, the nature of the mind. With delusion or ignorance, oftentimes it always comes up short. And when there's that attachment to a sense of self, a sense of me, a sense of mine, it always ends up, because that's the nature of delusion, nature of ignorance. And that's to recognize, oh, that's a source of fear. That's how fear and anxiety is fed through that. So that being that ability to recognize, and it's through, and it's not through so much through kind of wisdom that is relinquished, but it's through compassion. And that both of a compassion, a forgiveness for oneself, a forgiveness for others, a generosity of heart that we're able to establish that sense of this is how the process of karma and the fruits of karma work, and we can work within that that causal process, and not be hooked to it, feeding it in a negative way, or being spun out by it. And that it can be relinquished, it can be understood. And it doesn't mean that the causal process doesn't work anymore, but it means that one's not bound to it. And I think particularly through that sense of the quality of compassion, where that one is again, tuning into suffering and realizing it isn't what it's not where we want to go, it's not where we want to end up, it's not where anybody wants to end up in a place of suffering, experience of suffering. And the last thing that the Buddha points to is around the sense of the kind of the fear and anxiety around doubt and uncertainty. What's right? What's wrong? What's good? What's bad? How do we even tell? How do we know? How do we know? How do we know how the world works? That sense of the doubt and uncertainty is fed by the attachment to self. It's on a certain level, it's kind of a catch-22 in that. And so as long as I keep trying to figure it out, there's no end to that process. And there's always, you always come up with an uncertainty and something to doubt. And again, that's I think the importance of that quality of compassion and the quality of loving kindness is underestimated, and because some things don't necessarily need an answer, they need to be viewed with a heart of compassion and loving kindness. You know, obviously there's needs to be discernment, there needs to be clarity, but the more predominant quality is that quality of compassion. And you know, especially when it's say around these questions of the, you know, why are we born? Why do we die? Why is the world like this? On a certain level, there is no real answer that doesn't take you to more doubt. But the quality of compassion isn't the world is like this. The human experience is like this. Is a way to be present with that, and then to move through it, and to and we say that, you know, because sometimes we use the word relinquishment, and it is important. It's a very important concept of that relinquishment. But I think it's not the experience of relinquishment is not so much putting down, putting away, dropping something, but that moving through the experience with clarity. If one moves through it so that it's one's present, and then it's finished. But it's one's not carrying it through, and it's so that sense, so that that sense of the experience of the sense of self, the sense of I, is so much. It keeps being recreated and reestablishes itself in different forms. So then it this is where that it's never really relinquished. It's never really allowed to cease. So that willingness to be present and to move through. It's not so much a putting down, getting rid of, but it's that the willingness to be there and move through it, and recognizing its nature. It's like this, and it can be. It doesn't overwhelm. It isn't a source of fear and anxiety anymore. And so that you know, and these are ways of, or hopefully ways of talking that are helpful in terms of how to approach experience, as opposed to. You know, having some kind of list of 1, 2, 3. This is the way things are. This is the way it is. Just learn this list, and you'll be okay. But how to be present with our experience in this human birth, and how to be. Not present just for oneself, but how to be present for others, because it's that ability to to be present, that we cultivate with our own experience, is then, it translates into the ability to be present for others and be present with others. And particularly, you know, tomorrow, Iris's family will be here, her parents, her sister, and you know, it's very difficult to lose a daughter. It's very difficult to lose an elder sister. So that, just to be able to be present for them, and of course, you know, and we ourselves, you know, we're, Iris formed an integral part of the Abhayagiri. She put a tremendous amount of effort to draw close to the Abhayagiri community, and now we're separated. And how do we be present with that? How do we so that for learning within ourselves, and then learning so that we can understand more clearly our own experience, but then, and it's a big support for her family who will be here. So those are some reflections this evening. Tomorrow there'll be probably a largish gathering, and I'm tired. I've had a long day.